The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with John Couch, who is engineering and producing our program on the other side of the glass. Today, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show as we kick off Thanksgiving week. It's Monday, November the 25th, 2019. A year ago, Thanksgiving was like, what, 4 days old or 4 or 5 days old? It was the earliest possible Thanksgiving. A year later, this will be the latest possible Thanksgiving, of course, on Thursday. Buckmaster broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Podcasts available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Live line number 790-2040. The Monday political face-off this week with our team of commentators, Bruce Ash in his fourth term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and the former treasurer of the Pima County Democratic Party, Aaron Rottenstein, with us. Aaron, how are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you doing?
Real good. Bruce, great. How's it going?
Doing great. Had a great weekend on the show with Mark Napier, and then yesterday helping with the Mountain Oyster Club 50th Annual Art Show. Almost $470,000 worth of Western art sold at the show yesterday.
I wondered how much you were going to raise. That is very good. Is that a record, by the way?
If it's not, it's pretty doggone close.
Very good. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. And, you know, they're getting ready for the holidays over there. They have done such, well, they kind of redesigned the gallery a little bit. Great art now, and much of it, Bruce Ash, as we've talked about, from Mo himself. He's a very accomplished photographer.
He is, and you'll be amazed. You think that you're at a museum someplace, mm-hmm. Looking at his art. And if I can just add one additional thing on Mo's gallery. Last week, Mo and Corinne's husband, as well as an electrician, came to our house. They put up high up in our great room new art lights. They were up on 14 to 16-foot ladders for the better part of 2 days.
Oh,
they rigged this up. They set it all up, and it is a great job. So in addition to framing and original art and all those things, these guys really know how to display your art as well.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Aaron, as we sit down on Thanksgiving, well, what's the protocol over at the Rottenstein home? And I think you're hosting Thanksgiving. Do you kind of let people just do their political thing, or is it off limits, or what's the deal with you guys?
You know, in my family, we're really lucky that everyone at the table kind of comes to the table with a sense of respect. And so with that said,
I thought you were going to say they all come to the same table or come to the table all on the same page politically, but that,
you know,
might not be the case.
That respect allows us to poke a little bit. And if there is any light between us on issues, we can let ourselves have it. You know, I'm the person I am today because my parents challenged me every step of the way to think better and have a more concise and cohesive philosophy on my life, my business, my relationships, anything. And it's my honor and pleasure to give that right back to them these days.
So the disagreement, Aaron, can be done with from a place of respect and honor.
I would hope so. And I realize that, you know, at some tables this holiday, that might not be the case for everybody. But I think having gratitude for the people around the table enables you to have conversations that sometimes aren't friendly. But, you know, Thanksgiving is a time where we should all come together. It's my favorite holiday of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I love Thanksgiving.
No gift giving other than bring yourself and
hopefully some good food and some good wine.
The gift of food and love and gratitude, right?
Yeah. And, you know, it gives you a chance to reflect on the people in your life that you're thankful for, the, you know, instances in your life where people have, you know, intervened on your behalf and pushed you forward and mentored you. You should be thankful for that as well. And I think anyone coming to the table with those two things in mind is going to be able to find some common ground somewhere.
How about the Bruce Ash home?
Well, we have a Thanksgiving feast at Mike and Ani's parents' house. And It's always a nice gathering, a very diverse gathering. They sometimes have up to 40 people there. And
People, the chances of 40 people being all on the same page politically.
Yeah, and I'm sure not everybody is. Oh. But you know, like Aaron says, it's a time for some respect and maybe a little bit of restraint. you know, maybe restraint comes with respect, I guess. But you know, I mean, there are. I mean, in my case, really, I prefer not talking about politics with my friends, and almost everybody wants to talk about politics, you know, family included. There are a lot better things to talk about on Thanksgiving or other holidays. And I'm like Aaron. There are two holidays that I look forward to all year. And unfortunately, we're not having Thanksgiving at our house anymore since the kids did get married. And I'm happy to participate, you know, in Ani's parents' festivities. But Thanksgiving and Passover.
Agreed.
You know, in the spring, because, you know, you are brought together. And there's a purpose. And it's remembering, you know, a time our history, whether it's in biblical history or in American history, you know, about certain things that happened. And it's just a good time. And, you know, our company, for example, you know, we're starting to do all of our year-end giving really now. Uh-huh. At Thanksgiving, because of the needs that exist, you know, and we're given to a lot of local charities in a big way.
One question or comment, Aaron, that I'm sure will come up at your table, because people know that you have been involved with Democratic politics, will be what impact, and I'll go ahead and give you a preview of so you can be prepared on Thanksgiving.
Can't wait.
Yeah, what about Michael Bloomberg? What impact is that going to make in this race?
Well, I think the impact's going to be seen by TV ad buyers and sales departments at TV stations in Iowa. I don't think that there's a real strong desire from the Democratic primary voters for somebody like him to come into the race at this time. And to do it in the way that it seems like he's going to do it, we have, you know, a free and fair and very clear-cut system that we pick a nominee. He's more than welcome to participate in it. The way that he said he's going to go about this, by not asking for donors, not necessarily competing in some of the early states, indicates to me he doesn't think that he's going to be able to get on the debate stage before Iowa, and you know, that might be a smart calculation in terms of setting the bar for himself, but I think it's going to make it very challenging.
What is there to gain by that? What's the guy's got all the money in the world, name recognition. I mean,
I think everyone that stands in opposition to President Trump is deeply concerned about making sure he becomes a one-term president. And that is a very wide swath of the American population, and it's a very, very large tent. And so there are going to be people with, you know, views that aren't necessarily represented by one of the two or three top Democratic candidates at any point in time. And those have been changing week by week, just as they did 4 years ago when the Republicans were picking a nominee. It doesn't surprise me at all that there are individuals all across this country, some with, you know, more money and more power and more name recognition than others, that are looking in the mirror and saying, what can I personally do to make sure that Donald Trump's a one-term president? And I think this is probably reflective of Michael Bloomberg's internal conversations on that.
What do you think, Bruce?
Well, the Democrats face some interesting challenges. You know, the rules are set up so that if there is a problem, there's the mechanism to intervene. They have done that in the past. The Republican Party's done that in the past, in different forms. But you know, it's up to the voters. And you know, it's a very divided field right now. I mean, certainly it looks as though there's, you know, it's a 3 or 4 person race. And Michael Bloomberg certainly complicates that math a little bit. You know, if I was Michael Bloomberg, and you know, far be it for me to advise him, I'm not sure I would have spent $31 million on a TV ad buy, given how few people actually watch or, you know, pay attention to broadcast TV these days. And he or his crew may have done digital and so on at the same time. But boy, to blow $31 million on TV, that shows either a lot of faith and confidence in broadcast TV or a lot of naivete.
And to put that into perspective, the single, and that's in 1 week, the single most expensive week we've ever had in political advertising was Barack Obama spent $25 million the last week before his reelection in 2012. And so we're here in November of an odd-numbered year seeing a candidate do it. It's really shocking. It's in a way, while I welcome his entry into the race and, you know, wish him well, I don't want to see money like that have as immediate as of an impact as I imagine he hopes it will, because I think it's a really bad sign for our democracy.
Well, there's a lot of panic within the establishment of the Democratic Party right now, with the front runners as they currently are today and the positions they've taken in terms of how to be successful in the 2020 election.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Additional support comes from our favorite bakery in town. I was up at Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise yesterday. Boxes piled to the ceiling. Those are boxes that will be filled with wonderful pies. While we were there, one gentleman, Bruce and Aaron, came in and he had ordered 65 pumpkin pies. And Steve and the team.
Can you get me his address? I want to stop off and get some.
Steve and the team were loading up his vehicle with pumpkin pies, and they're doing pumpkin, apple, blueberry, cherry, and pecan. Thank you, Steve. We picked up a pumpkin pie before the show. I wanted to do a little taste test with my two guests, Aaron and Bruce, and I'll let them tell our listeners about how the experience went. Bruce Ash.
It was fabulous. And the crust was out of this world. It just melts in your mouth. And I smelled the pie as soon as I walked in. And boy, it was fabulous.
That piece was waiting for you, wasn't it? Right?
It sure
right
was.
There at your
table. Had my name on it.
Yeah, it did. What do you think, Aaron?
Well, we got two Thanksgiving fans in here, so it's no surprise. It was excellent. Thank you very much for thinking of us, and just a wonderful pie. Thank you.
So there is still time to put in that order, 579-1959, monasdanishbakery.com. You can put in your order, not only for the pies, but all the breads. My goodness, they're doing, they're having a wonderful Thanksgiving is the bottom line. The place was packed yesterday, diners for breakfast, early lunch. So it was great to see. Steve's in great spirits, and they've got everything you need for Thanksgiving. He already has put out the Christmas cookies, too, the boxes of the Christmas cookies. So put in that order. And, okay, if you guys had to make a selection of those choices now, pumpkin, apple, blueberry, cherry, pecan,
It'd be pumpkin. I mean, that's my theory. I like the others, but pumpkin the best. I eat that all year round.
Okay, what do you think,
Aaron? If you make me agree with Bruce one more time today, this isn't really giving the audience what they've asked for.
We'll do shock therapy.
There you go.
Just to get it back.
Of course,
pumpkin for me too.
Don't forget Danish Kringle. They're the home of the Danish Kringle, and that's in custard, cherry, strawberry, blueberry, lemon, apricot, and pecan. So I think a Danish Kringle would certainly be an order for Thanksgiving morning or perhaps Friday morning. Have a Kringle for your breakfast. We'll be right back. It's the Monday Political Face-Off Thanksgiving Week Edition. Bruce Ash and Aaron Rottenstein. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Take 5 minutes to give us your input on regional transportation matters. The Regional Transportation Authority's 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee prepared draft guiding principles to consider as they prepare to develop the next RTA plan. The survey is available between mid-November and mid-December. To take the survey or to sign up to receive RTA notices, please visit www.rtamobility.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort, all on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, presenting our Monday political face-off. And we enjoyed that pumpkin pie for sure from Mona's Danish Bakery. And I will point out, Bruce Ash and Aaron Rottenstein, that everybody here at the station loved it. In fact, if I hadn't put aside you know where I'm going with it. If I hadn't put aside your pieces, it would have been gone. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, it was gone.
They attack, they pounce on stuff like
stuff
that.
Was gone.
Yeah.
Aaron, what about the impeachment, articles of impeachment? When do you see this going to the Senate? Within a couple of weeks,
I wouldn't be surprised if it is in a couple of weeks. You know, we've got to take a step back and realize how fast this process is going compared to the historical precedent. And I think a lot of the reason is what we saw last week. We saw last week a lot of witnesses, many requested by Republicans, almost all acting in Donald Trump's government, give a very clear, concise, and consistent story about. You know, and it seems like Republicans are having trouble with vocabulary, but whether you want to call it quid pro quo, bribery, extortion, they all mean the same thing. And Americans know that. I think the House is ready to move forward on this. The witnesses that they've subpoenaed that are unwilling to provide testimony, I think we'll be able to sort that out in the Senate. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's something that the Senate's going to have to take up in the next couple of weeks now.
What do you think, Bruce? Is this going to be a very, maybe even a day or two kind of, quote, trial in the Senate?
Well,
is there any way to avoid a trial?
Well, there is some discussion amongst Democratic leadership that they might not have the amount of gravitas, if you will, to press ahead with an impeachment, but they might want to censure. I think that would be a defeat for them in the House. Having that happen, in terms of moving ahead to the Senate, I think the leadership in the Senate has made it clear they don't plan to to go in the route of a dismissal before testimony is taken. They'd rather let the testimony be heard and make a decision from there. The longer this goes, I think the worse outcome it is, not just for the Democratic Party, but for all the American people. What I've said recently, I think, is reflective of what a lot of Americans think today. There are so many issues on the table, whether it be treaties, whether it be tax reform, whether it be immigration work. I mean, just a whole host. Take a topic. We're not focused on that, and there are challenges abroad. There's just too much at risk to be spending all of the energy that's going into this. And, you know, hey, it's a political thing. If that's the direction that the Democratic Party leadership in the Congress wants to go, then so be it. But I think the outcome will not be a pretty one for them, but mainly, importantly, not a pretty one for the country when this is all over.
Would that be a possibility? Bruce brings up a censure and then say, well, we've got an election year. Let's just let the people decide.
We have to remember that Donald Trump is being investigated and will be impeached for improperly bribing a foreign country to interfere in our elections. I don't know that letting those same elections go forward is going to be the best way to restore the confidence of the American people. If the House were not to impeach, they would be doing so against the popular will of the American people. And there are some very frightening and sad things happening to the theory of America right now, and going against the public on that at this point would just add to it.
It's going to be a case then of who's got the most energy as we go into the election year, isn't it, Aaron? Who's going to be energized? We know that the Donald Trump forces are energized. Will the Dems meet that challenge?
Well, if the Donald Trump forces are energized, we haven't empirically seen that over the last few weeks. A Democrat is the governor of Kentucky. A Democrat is the governor of Louisiana. Democrats have, you know, historically taken over the House of Delegates and the Senate in Virginia. There hasn't been a competitive election on Democratic turf that was winnable that Democrats didn't win. There haven't been very many competitive elections on Republican turf that Democrats haven't won. And that doesn't mean that we're there. We only get one shot to restore this. As I said before, I think a lot of folks are trying to figure out how they themselves can help make sure that Donald Trump is a one-term president. And hopefully we can keep that momentum through next November.
Well, I was hoping not to turn this into a he said, she said, but, you know, the facts just generally don't support the charges being made by Mr. Schiff and his colleagues in the U.S. House and on the Intel Committee. And the political polling on this has gone sideways for the Democrats. And at the same time, people generally, when they give money to something or to mm-hmm. somebody, mm-hmm. it's because they support that thing. The gifts to the campaign, both small as well as large gifts, have just swollen since this thing started. At the end of the day, though, people don't like to see what's going on. And frankly, they don't understand half of what's going on. That's not to diminish the intelligence of the average American, but what this appears to be is a partisan sort of a show. And we've been through two of these things before this one. And every time that the facts don't quite go to where the Democratic leadership wanted them to, we've gone from obstruction, we've gone to bribery, and now we're doing extortion. It just, people see through this, and I think the American public does see this for what it is, and they just want to get on. USMCA, for example, Aaron and Bill, this is a tremendous thing for Southern Arizona. And I wish Ann Kirkpatrick would say something and try to move this thing forward. This is a conversation that we ought to be having. And if you want to have the other conversation at the same time, so be it. But to have all that and to not be passing USMCA, which both Republicans and Democrats agree.
Could you tell us what that is?
It's a U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement.
There you go. Commonly referred to as NAFTA 2.0.
or USMCA.
Okay.
It's stalled right now because nobody's willing to take it up, and that's a shame. That's costing a lot of jobs. It's causing a lot of consternation with companies who want to get on with this.
Yeah, Democrats can walk and chew gum at the same time, and we're gonna make sure we get that treaty right because, as we've seen, Donald Trump is not the best negotiator on the international scene. He's gotten absolutely worked by Turkey. He's gotten absolutely worked by China. He's gotten absolutely worked by North Korea, by Russia. And so we're going to take our time on that. We've passed a lot of really important bills out of the House, whether it's gun control or restoring the 22 million people that have fallen off of health insurance after the Republicans gutted Obamacare. Those things are sitting in the Senate right now. They need to pass those through, get them signed into law.
Well, the House has passed some nice bills for post offices and naming public buildings, but not a lot of substance. And that's what they're elected to do. And I think at the end of this year, coming up 2020, they're going to have a reckoning because people are going to remember who did what to whom or who didn't act at all.
All right, Bruce Ash and Aaron Rottenstein, I hope both of you have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
thank you very much. Same to you.
Thanks a lot. That's going to do it for our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Check out Moe for all of your custom frame mirrors, the beautiful art that he has in the gallery, and of course, what they do, kind of the iconic piece, is their wonderful framing. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Midway point of the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We'll be right back.
CBS News Update. The Pentagon is roiled by the case of a Navy SEAL who was caught up in a war crimes case. Eddie Gallagher was acquitted of murdering an ISIS fighter, but convicted of posing with the body. Defense Secretary Mark Esper says President Trump insisted Gallagher keep his elite status.
I spoke to the president on Sunday. He gave me the order that Gallagher will retain his Trident.
And Navy Secretary Richard Spencer is out, Esper says, because he tried to rig a disciplinary process involving Gallagher.
I spoke with the president late Saturday, informed him that I lost trust and confidence in Secretary Spencer, and I was going to ask for Spencer's resignation.
The Center for American Progress's Lawrence Korb says the case could be used as a recruiting tool for U.S. enemies.
Basically, it emboldens our enemies. You want to recruit ISIS? See what kind of country the United States is? Look what they do. So, you know, join us and we won't let them do that anymore when they come over here.
CBS News Update, I'm Pam Coulter.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Green Things, your go-to place for all of your holiday decorating. I can't believe it. 25,000 poinsettias that they have grown over there. You know how many greenhouses that takes to fill up 25,000? And those, you know, they grow them there. Start the process begins, I think, in January or February. So it's a year-long process. Every imaginable color, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, 13-acre site. Not only all the gardening needs, but they have that Zocalo, all that great merchandise. Much of it's hand-carved in Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Check it out, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Dr. Robert Schwebel is a clinical psychologist and longtime Tucson resident who directed a drug treatment agency here in town in the early 1980s. He began his writing career with a weekly psychology column in the Arizona Daily Star. That was from 1983 to 1991. In the late 1980s, Dr. Schwebel co-authored the book A Guide to a Happier Family, then wrote Saying No is Not Enough, Helping Children Make Wise Decisions About Alcohol and Other Drugs. A few years later, he wrote Who's on Top, Who's on Bottom, How Couples Can Learn to Share Power. In 1990, Dr. Schwebel was asked by a local counseling agency to develop a drug treatment program for adolescents. That's when he wrote what has become known now as the Seven Challenges Program. It's being used by hundreds of organizations all around America. In the past 3 years, he adapted the program for adult clients, which eventually led him to write his new book. It's titled Leap of Power, Take Control of Alcohol, Drugs, and Your Life. Dr. Schwebel, always a pleasure. Good to see you.
It's great to be here.
You know, after all these years that were dedicated to developing and writing the materials for the Seven Challenges program, why did you decide to put out this self-help book that is really geared for the general public, Leap of Power? How did that come about?
Well, it really relates to the basic principles that I started with 30 years ago. The program originally was for adolescents, and one of the things we said is we've got to stop bossing people around, stop telling them what to do, people with drug problems, and let's give them a chance to think it through for themselves and make their own decisions. And of course, that worked very well with adolescents. We know, most of us from personal experience, yes, if not from the literature, that you start telling adolescents what to do and they're going to do the opposite.
Exactly.
So then a few years ago, a lot of people were saying we want an adult program. I started writing an adult version of the program, and it was clear to me the same principles apply. Adults don't want to be told what to do. They don't want to be bossed around. And traditionally, drug treatment, there's an awful lot of that, of judgment, criticism, putting people down, considering people moral failures, and that instead of doing that, let's treat people with respect, help them think it through for themselves. And the logical extension for that is, you know, first I was doing with adolescents, then with adults. Well, that pretty much covers everybody. Yeah. So why not write a book for the general public? And Bill, the interesting thing about that is more people actually overcome drug problems on their own than through counseling.
Really?
Yeah. So why not support everyone who's changing in those ways? And for people who are getting counseling, I thought this would be a valuable resource to support them in thinking things through for themselves.
You know, I get the title, Take Control of Alcohol, Drugs, and Your Life. That's pretty self-evident. But what about Leap of Power? What's this Leap of Power all about, Dr. Schwebel?
Well, that is really, to me, a very important concept because in our culture, there's something that goes around this business that people are powerless over drugs. I mean, it really started with 12 steps, of course, where, you know, part of the program is to say you're powerless and the only way to get better is to have a leap of faith through spiritual beliefs. And, you know, that works for a certain percentage of the population. But the problem is that message of you are powerless over drugs kind of spread into the culture. And we see it in counselors all over the country, counselors everywhere. The sort of belief that people are powerless, it becomes kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. And to me, I think of it as like the wrong message to give to people who are feeling weak and vulnerable. People are powerful. People can take control over their lives, including their use of alcohol and other drugs.
That's a departure, isn't it, from the traditional thinking?
It most definitely is. And, you know, people get told that they're powerless and they actually feel powerless. A leap of power is somehow encouraging people to believe that even if you've been told you're powerless, even if you feel powerless, somewhere within yourself, you have the power to change things, to take control of your life.
You're saying to people, let them make their own decisions. And that, again, that goes against the grain of just say no to drugs and alcohol and abstinence.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean
that abstinence is, so many programs are based on that.
Yes, and many programs require abstinence.
Yes.
So what do you end up with? People come in and they think either this isn't for me, or they lie and they say they're going to become abstinent. And oftentimes, by the way, they're sent away, which is horrible. Just because you won't play by our rules and agree to be abstinent, you know, go away and come back when you hit rock bottom and when you're willing to play by our game. So I think it's really important that people become aware that abstinence is, you know, it's a great choice. If you have a drug problem, I mean, you want to solve it, don't use drugs at all. That would be great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there are other options. People can set new limits to their drug use.
Mm-hmm.
They can even use the same amount of drugs, but use it more safely. You could decide to drink, but never drink and drive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think it's really important that we give a message to people that we're not going to tell you how to change. You have to figure out for yourself what way you want to change.
And again, this book is so important because you are giving folks a different choice. This is really changing the rules in many ways, isn't it, Dr. Schwebel?
Yes, and we're trying to do that. It's really important. And, you know, one other thing about abstinence, it's like counselors get this thing where, well, if you come in here and I tell you you're going to be abstinent, you'll be abstinent. Well, that's kind of silly. I mean, where do we get the magical power to do this? I mean, I maybe need to go back for a few more years of graduate school to figure out how that works. But we don't have any magical powers. And, you know, we need to get over ourselves and recognize that the best way for people to change and the most commitment to change will come when people make that decision for themselves. People are much more committed to decisions they make themselves than ones they feel are imposed upon them.
790-2040 if you have any questions for Dr. Robert Schwebel, the author of Leap of Power, Take Control of Alcohol, Drugs, and Your Life. We would be happy to hear from you and entertain your questions. We'll continue with Dr. Schwebel after we take the break on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
A Citizens Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is preparing to develop the next RTA plan. That's why members want your input on a survey of draft guiding principles they prepared. The principles will help guide them as they develop the next 20-year plan, which would be funded by a voter-required extension of the RTA's half-cent excise or sales tax. To take the survey or sign up to receive RTA notices, please visit www.rtamobility.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a 3-hour trip. How about a road trip? Folks have some time off over the holidays. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the many great places to stay in Silver City and all sorts of great ideas on how to have fun and visit some new places like the world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, which is just north of Silver City. Again, their website is southwestnewmexico.org. We're talking with clinical psychologist, longtime Tucsonan, Dr. Robert Schwebel. His newest book is a book that is it's a self-help book for the general public, and it's titled Leap of Power, Take Control of Alcohol, Drugs, and Your Life. Dr. Schwebel, is the book widely available? Where do folks get a hold of it?
Amazon is really the best place. They can get it on Amazon.
Want to pick up on our discussion about, we were talking about so many programs in this field are really abstinence-based, but you don't really hear about the importance of discussing drug benefits, the good things that people might be able to get from drugs.
Yes, the intuitive reaction. I mean, the way people react is if you have a drug problem, people are going to come up to you and tell you how bad drugs are, how dangerous they are. And, you know, the funny thing is with adolescents, you know, they get bombarded with messages about how bad drugs are. They know it. I mean, that's the thing. People know drugs are bad, and people have the potential to be harmful. They're not inherently bad, but they have the potential to be harmful. And so that knowledge is kind of out there, and it's almost like beating a dead horse. You go to counseling, and you go in, and people start saying how awful things are and how much you've been harmed. And, you know, for listeners, I think family members, you start speaking with family members and telling them, oh, how much they've been harmed, how bad it is. Mm-hmm. People kind of know that. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing is they know that drugs are harmful potentially, and they perhaps have already been harmed themselves. So from the help point of view, the most interesting question is, what is it that is so compelling about drugs? What is it that you like so much that gets you to keep using drugs despite the fact that they have harmed you?
Talking about motivating factors.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. That's it, the root causes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
What, you know, people use drugs for pleasure mm-hmm. and for relief from pain. That's mm-hmm. that's human instinct.
Right.
So, you know, so people use them for those reasons. And if you want to get to the bottom of why they're using them to excess, you got to figure out what needs they are satisfying. What needs are they not satisfying in other ways? People use drugs to fall asleep at night. Mm-hmm. People use drugs to manage their anger. People use drugs to feel comfortable in social situations. So the best thing we can do in terms of helping people is help them figure out other ways to have good life. So they actually have an option to say, you know what, I don't have to use drugs to feel good or to deal with stress and difficult situations. I have other choices.
Leap of Power, Take Control of Alcohol, Drugs in Your Life, the author, Dr. Robert Schwebel. Let's go to the live line, and Ingrid has called us. She has a question about, actually, it's a pretty good question. People are addicted to sugar. Let's hear what she has to say about that. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Sugar and coffee.
Coffee and sugar. There you go.
Sugar came around 700 or so BC in India, if I remember correctly. And then coffee around the 13th or 14th century among Arab nations. And then it spread. And when you listen to people talk on the radio, for instance, I have to have another cup of coffee or another. And I mean, it sounds funny, and then you realize it's not a joke. People are really addicted to this stuff.
Yeah, so your question's about addiction to food substances.
Right. Mm. And I mean, I like sugar too. Fortunately, if I ever become diabetic, there's always saccharin and stuff like that
right.
to take care of the issue. But I mean, this is no joke. People are jittery. They can't get to sleep. They have to be awakened with the coffee, and then at night they can't get to bed nicely. What do you think about that? I think it's a drug.
It absolutely is. There is without doubt that caffeine is a drug, and it is an addictive drug. And people who drink a lot of caffeine or coffee know that when they quit drinking, there's a real likelihood they'll have a headache
yep.
the next day. And that actually is a withdrawal symptom.
Caffeine-induced headaches, big time, can really cause problems.
And it's fascinating you brought up the issue of addiction in general, because what we're beginning to realize is that you can be addicted to gaming. It's
sure.
a huge problem
huge.
Now with adolescents, huge. Mm-hmm. People are addicted to gambling. And it's funny, this is part of it kind of fits in with what we're talking about drugs, that people say that drugs are so all-powerful that that's what causes addiction. But really, it's a process in our brain where there's something that's very rewarding, whether it's gaming, sitting in front of a console, or whether it's gambling. There can be food addiction. There is definitely, as you mm-hmm. mentioned on the phone, there's caffeine addiction. It's the same process.
Is addiction something that we're maybe all hardwired for, Dr. Schwebel?
Well, we are, mm-hmm. You know, most definitely.
And what happens, I mean, I'm not a neuropsychologist. I can't explain exactly the neurology of it, but our brains do, you know, through frequent use of or frequent repetition of a behavior, we end up being wired. And that is what makes it difficult to change. But, you know, people say, well, it's a disease. You can't get over it. Well, you know what? Our brains are capable of being rewired. We can develop other pathways. And when we take our power, you know, I can tell you firsthand about caffeine addiction. Every once in a while, in fact, I decide, you know, I have my two or three cups, but I'm going to stop for a while because I've developed a tolerance to the caffeine.
Yeah, that you'd like a third or fourth cup before you know it, right?
Right. Exactly.
What about how can something you talk about in the book, Smart Brain, and something called the Right Now Brain. What's a smart brain and what's a right now brain?
Well, that gets into evolution. You know, evolution, when we humans were in our most primitive state and roaming around wherever we were roaming, I guess on the African continent, mm-hmm. when there was a food source, our brains were wired to go for it. You see it, you grab it. So that became really part of our ancient brain, and we still have that ancient brain with us. Well, that's what I call the right now brain. You see fruit on the tree, you grab it. You mm-hmm. see a source of meat, you get that animal, you eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we also fortunately evolved another part of the brain, you know, that is called the prefrontal cortex, but I prefer to call it the smart brain.
Mm-hmm.
And the smart brain is what we have to bring to bear when we have a bad habit, when we have an addiction, in fact. The smart brain is the part of our brain that says wait, stop, and think. You know, I know surely some listeners have issues with alcohol or other drugs, but probably even more have issues with food. And so many of us Americans have been on diets, and I think one of the things that helps people overcome bad eating habits is the ability to be able to say, well, you know, I feel like grabbing this fast food snack, stop, think, and that's our prefrontal cortex. That's our smart brain. And it applies, you know, with alcohol and drugs. I mean, basically, the smart brain gets us thinking, well, this may feel good now at this moment, but how does it really affect my life? How does it affect my future? Is this really in my best interest?
You don't have to look far for friends and family members who have a problem with alcohol or other drugs. What advice do you have for them, Dr. Schwebel? What advice for our listeners that have those friends or family members that are dealing with these issues?
Well, I would say top of the list, be really cautious not to judge or put down people with drug problems. Be supportive. Keep an open heart. Keep the door open. I think often we rush in and we try to control, we try to fix, we push people around. I mean, open a dialogue. Ask a person you care about, can we talk about this? Let them know your own concerns from your own point of view, how you see things. But at the same time, ask them, what's going on in their lives? Ask them about their drug use. Ask them if they have concerns. Surprisingly, Bill, it relates to what we talked about before. Ask them what they like about drugs. They might say, I use it to fall asleep. I can't fall asleep without drugs. We can be partners with our friends and family. We can say, you know, let's see if we can get you some help with insomnia.
Yeah. Or some other issue that they're dealing with. Perhaps they're having issues with they just are overeating or something like that. That's an addiction as well.
Yeah, it can most definitely be.
Yeah. So what would you like the listener to take away after they've read Leap of Power? What message?
Well, for people with drug problems, mm-hmm. I want to say you absolutely can take control of your own life. You can take power over your own life. And even if you feel like you have some sense that, for example, if you have one sip of alcohol, you can't stop, you have the power not to take that first sip. The other thing I think that would be crucial for people with problems with alcohol or other drugs, you're using drugs for a reason. Figure out what that reason is.
make, you know, the idea isn't just to stop using drugs, it's to have a good life. Figure out other ways you can satisfy your basic needs and feel good without needing to have drugs.
Good advice, Dr. Robert Schwebel. We'll look for your book, Leap of Power, Take Control of Alcohol, Drugs, and Your Life. You can take a look at the book, and there'll be a place on Amazon. It's been really an Amazon bestseller, hasn't it?
Yes, we hit number one that first week on the new release category.
That is so exciting. Congratulations. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Hope everybody has a great Monday and this Thanksgiving week. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Chef Janos Wilder will be with us. Very appropriate for Thanksgiving week. Have a great afternoon.